a pre-recorded version of the WTK Roundtable on WTK, unsurprisingly, 9 o'clock Thursdays. This is recorded, though, so if you call in, nobody will answer you.
I mean, Golden Limousine is a lifesaver for me. They will be a lifesaver for me when it comes time to go to Rome in a few weeks. I'll be going. The family will be going. We have a lot of stuff. I got a lot of equipment to take. Got a lot of luggage to get over there.
Travel light.
Travel light, Sam. I wish I could travel light.
As light as you can.
Craig, but I don't know that I'll be able to. At any rate, whatever I have, Golden, they will be able to accommodate me, send an SUV over. Get me. I don't have to park my car or truck in the parking deck for a week and lug all my luggage around. Door to door service when it comes from home to the airport. They can set up my ground transportation. When I land in Rome, they'll be waiting for me a baggage claim when I get back. It's the type of service that goes above and beyond what you might get when you pick up your phone, you look at an app, and you rely upon a user rating to determine whether or not this is a good car to get in. That's not the way to go. Trust me, I did one of those services for the first time in Kansas City. Life, I almost died. I mean, literally. Guy went the wrong way down a one-way street on the way there. The guy who picked us up whipped a U-turn in the middle of traffic because he missed his turn and said, hey, see, this is why I only go with Golden when I have the opportunity. You should as well. Golden Limousine is the only choice for corporate luxury and turnkey airport transportation services for your next trip, whether it be an Ann Arbor arrival, a game day departure, a meeting across town, or international business. Log on to goldenlimo.com from the boardroom to the big house. Michigan rides on Golden. Again, it's goldenlimo.com. Joining us as they do every single week for the MGO Blog Roundtable. First from MGO Blog, Brian Cook, BC. Good morning.
Morning.
And of course, Craig Ross. Man, Craig, it's so good to see you with the common folk again, man.
It's good to be here. I have a very brief story, and I think it may relate to what we're talking about. A few years ago, I was giving a presentation for the Grand Rapids Bar Association on some stuff that wasn't all that interesting, but at the end of the presentation, which I thought a guy comes up to me, or actually it was a question from the crowd, and I was expecting some question about what I was talking about, law, and guy says, what's Brian Cook like? and this connects to
what did you say?
Well, I'll tell you exactly what I said. I remembered exactly because this came up this morning because you were comparing Mo Bamba to a sort of metaphorical pterodactyl. I said, he's a bearded pterodactyl, but friendlier. And I think this connects to what we may be talking about.
We are going to talk about because what? Brian, Brian, sometimes some people, they refer to you as a voice of the people, a voice of the fans.
That's my point.
The Michigan fans, Michigan fans.
I'm a Michigan fan.
Right. And it's a sort of raw. It's a raw, unfiltered take.
Unfiltered?
Yeah, unfiltered take.
You don't want to see my unfiltered take.
Well, I mean, you got to be FCC, all right? You got to be FCC compliant. But what I mean is, it's not
heavily filtered.
it is not. I think we as fans often have at our disposal a sort of, and I'm not saying that you're impetuous, but there's an impetuousness that we have the luxury of having in our at arm's length. That's not necessarily always the case with the decision makers, and I feel like this particular decision isn't as cut and dry.
What as a lot of fans
believe, and I'm talking about you had a really hot take on Red.
It's not a hot take.
All right. So first of all, your take on Red, and then I'll give you my comment.
Sure. So I wrote a column a couple days ago saying that if Red Berenson won't retire, he should be fired. And I mean, let me preface this by the fact that I'm pretty much a hockey fan because of Red Berenson. I love his program. I love what he does when he's got a good program and he just wants to go score goals, and I appreciate that. And I love what Yost became, and I love Yost, and I love Red Berenson's program. I also think that at this point he's no longer an asset to it. And I know that Michigan went to the tournament last year, but when they finished that year up, it only kind of reinforced my sense that Michigan was behind the times. Because they come and they play North Dakota, a good North Dakota team. But Michigan has Zach Werenski. They have a top line that is the best top line Red Berenson's
Mott
ever had.
Confer, yeah.
Mott Confer and Kyle Connor. Mm-hmm. And they've got Bunieves. They've got Alex Kyle. They have a lot of talent. And at one point in that game, they're getting outshot something like 26-6 because they can't get out of their own zone because their breakout is so predictable and North Dakota knows exactly what they're going to do that their forecheck just cripples Michigan for about 30 minutes of that game. And Michigan did adapt eventually and get it to some kind of – well, it wasn't that bad the whole game. But it just kind of reinforced my sense that, you know, Michigan is no longer on the cutting edge of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And then to follow that up with this year where Michigan has probably the worst year that they've had since at least the mid-'80s. And it honestly, it feels worse in the record because if you look at – something called Corsi, which is a percentage of all shot attempts in a game, which is broadly more predictive in hockey than actual goals. Michigan is one of the worst teams in the country. Like they're down there with Alaska Anchorage and Arizona State, which started their program last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they're it looks like that on the ice. It looks like they don't really know where to go, who to be. And the talent level is down from last year, but this is still a team that has 9 NHL draft picks. And a 10th guy who will go in this year's draft. And for them to give Michigan State 2 or 3 Big Ten wins to finish only ahead of a terrible, terrible Michigan State team in the Big Ten and to have the amount of talent that they do, I mean, maybe that's a 500 team. Maybe that's a slightly above 500 team. But to not only miss a tournament, but miss a tournament by a country mile, when you combine that with the fact that this is the 4th year in 5 that Michigan won't even be in the tournament, that starts to be like, all right, now it's time.
Okay, so look, I don't dispute for I couldn't dispute for 1 second all the things you just laid out. You're a huge Michigan hockey fan.
Yeah,
you know much more about the team and the sport than I do. However, I think that this decision is more complicated than you're making it out to be.
Okay.
And here's why. The standard that you're complaining about Michigan not meeting was set by this guy. He's the architect of the program. So it's as much as you make practical sense.
Okay.
As far as the performance
that's
is concerned.
That's a good start.
I think that there's a tact and a grace to a decision like this that has to be employed. And him being instrumental in the direction moving forward, I think it removes from the equation an unceremonious dismissal. I mean, there has to be some medium.
Well,
there has to be some medium here when you're talking about a guy who is the reason why. I mean, like you said, he's the reason why you're sure. A hockey fan. He's the reason why you had all this success and all of these great players, and now so he built the house. He can't. He's not, you know, managing the house quite as well, but he built it, and so it's hard to say, hey, just throw that guy out.
Well, I agree with you that whoever has to make this decision should use all available means not to piss off Red Berenson. But if push did come to shove, I mean, it's time.
How would this? Because we were talking off air, and you kind of you likened this to Bobby Bowden and Florida State. And I guess for me, as revered as Bobby Bowden is at FSU, as much as his players love him,
dude, he built that program.
I'm not disputing that.
Okay,
what I wonder is the hockey family, the niche that it is, you know, is it closer? Is it tighter? Would it have more of an impact if you remove him in a way that is not seen as one that is full of tact, as full of tact as I think this whole thing needs to be? Like, how would the hockey alums react to this?
I don't know.
How would the folks that helped build, that were a part of helping build this program, how would they react if you just say, hey, man, you got to go and lock the door behind them?
Well, it's up to if you do make this decision and you do like say, all right, I know you want to come back, but we can't let that happen. And he's pissed off. He might be. I still think that at this point, most of the hockey alums would probably understand. And you could definitely soften the blow if you hired Mel Pearson. Mel Pearson was Red's right-hand man for 10, 15 years, 20 years.
Is it right to assume that if that is indeed on the table, is it right to assume that that's what's going to happen? I mean, I read what Red had to say.
Yeah.
And he said, look, we're going to sit down. We're going to talk about the way forward. And I don't want to be here if my presence is a problem. You know, if it's not the best thing for the program. So if Mel is available and Mel wants to come, isn't it logical to assume that that's what Red would be in favor of? Is that, I mean, you're looking at me like that's not.
Well, I've heard things about, but I can't. There are things that make me believe that Mel one would come back and has been approached about like the possibility and has answered affirmatively, but I can't say anything definitive about that. Just things that I've heard that make me
see. Because what if hypothetically, what if Mel hasn't given any assurances?
If Mel hasn't given any assurances, it doesn't change my opinion at all, because
it doesn't.
There are so many like top level hockey coaches that could be available right now. So there's a guy at Providence named Nate Lehman who's turned around both Providence and Union, made them national powers. There's a guy at Mass Lowell named Norm Bazin who is like has four of the five like NCAA tournament appearances.
This is why I am not for a second doubting your hockey chops.
Yeah,
you know I respect them to the nth degree, but we've seen what it's like. When you go outside the family for an outstanding coach, and I'm sure you've laid out a lot of outstanding coaches.
Yeah.
But you step outside this very comfortable space, even if you can get people on opposite sides of the aisle to agree that it's time, this is a huge consideration when you're talking about stepping outside of this tree, which again I say complicates matters. So if you don't have assurances from Mel, if you don't have Mel saying, hey, I'm definitely coming back, isn't that reason? And I'm not saying that's okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
But isn't that reason to sit down with Red and say, hey, Red, man, you know, what should we do if Mel isn't coming back? If Mel isn't coming back, maybe we can spend another year convincing him. And then if it doesn't work, you know, we make a change. Isn't that the kind of thing you have to allow for?
You know, if Bo retires in 1989 and Bo's younger than Joe Paterno. and at that point, yeah, you get whatever Bo says goes.
That, in fact, is what happened. I mean, it was just Bo named Moeller, end of story.
Right.
One press conference, no search, no nothing.
And
it was great. It was fine.
And the problem with Mel is that this keeps dragging on and Mel's getting up there too. So, like, do you want, I mean, it's a consideration, right? Because age waits for no man. And I just, well, at some point, this annual will he or won't he, it's very frustrating as a fan because I don't know what's going to happen. I do know that the product on the ice has steadily declined with a blip here and there. And I feel like if he's got one foot out the door, which he has had for 5 years now, it's like at some point you put the other foot out the door.
Split the difference for us, yeah. Craig. Yeah, I mean, you're a veteran of this. And you know, I think, like I said, I think Brian has stated a case very well. But I also think that, like I've been saying in the back and forth here, I just don't think that you can just abruptly say, hey, you know what, Red, it's time for you to go.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Sam. I think you cannot fire Red Berenson.
If you can fire Bobby Bowden at Florida State, is it time? If you can fire Bob Knight at Indiana.
Bob Knight was very different.
That was a very different situation. This
year. I mean, Red is not a doddering old guy. He may be 77. Heck, I'm older than he is, and I'm not quite doddering yet. And
well, we'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that later. Okay. But I don't think you can fire him. He's an icon. He's a legend. And to fire him is déclassé. It paints a bad light, I think, on what Michigan is, on what the Michigan Athletic Department is. How long do you let
well, this happen?
Well, no, but I agree with your predicate.
Because we had a conversation earlier this year, Sam, where I was like, it was a mistake to bring Red back this year. And you were like, well, it's just 1 year. Can you just give him 1 year? And now you're like, all right, can we just give him 2 years? Can we just give him 3 years? And I'm like, you know, at some point, I don't want to go to these games because it's just sad. It's sad watching the team play. It's sad watching Yost half empty. And, like, so is this a Red Berenson program or is it a Michigan program? And I know that the answer is kind of both. But fundamentally, it's a University of Michigan hockey program.
Well, I do agree with your predicate that obviously Michigan hockey's in decline. It doesn't look like it's springboarding up anytime in the near future. And I would say that this is a difficult job for Ward Manuel and probably the toughest thing he's had to deal with, assuming we know the reality. Now, if the reality is, yes, it's time for Red to go, which I think may be the fact, and the reality is Red says, I ain't going, he has a very difficult problem. Now, I don't know that's the fact, and we don't know what Mel Pearson's attitude is either. We don't know for a certainty that he's ready to come back. This is something that needs to be mediated. I will mediate it for free. This is what I do for a living. I do it every day, and they don't need to pay me. But it's a place where Manuel needs to come up with something that is an accord between Red and the University of Michigan, so that everyone is on the same page and the transition happens in a logical and rational way. Even if it's that, okay, this is absolutely our last year. Next year, Mel is coach, or it's we're giving you a new position in the athletic department that will have some connection to hockey, or even it may sound like a crazy idea, we have co-coaches for a year into a transition into the newer, younger guy.
Yeah, I don't care. The look on Brian's face doesn't translate over the mic.
But it's like, this guy is nuts. Right.
But I think what the point that Craig is making is that this circumstance is so unique that you do have to think outside of the box when you talk about what to do moving forward. I certainly have no real insight into who said what and what's on the table as far as what the future holds for the program. But I'm assuming that if you have some sort of tacit assurance from Mel that he would come back, I think that makes this a more of a seamless deal than any of the other things that you were talking about. Like, if you're talking about these other guys, I think now you're talking about maybe having a bigger problem than...
I know that the Rodriguez thing, it was blew up in everybody's face, but there's a big, big cultural difference between West Virginia and Michigan. There's much less of one between Providence and Michigan. Providence.
Have you ever been to Providence? No.
It's Providence. Their mascot is the Friars. Come on, people. Like, or Jim Montgomery at Denver. The thing about this is that Michigan can probably go poach a very, very good coach, even if Mel isn't interested, because those guys are making about $250,000 a year. Kim Barnes or Rico makes, what, $350,000? And she doesn't pilot a revenue sport. Michigan has a strong incentive to keep people coming to Yost Arena with a strong hockey program and can probably double the salary of any college hockey coach not in the Big Ten. And at that kind of income level, I mean, this isn't going from $3 million to $4 million, right? Which coaches jump at all the time. Mm-hmm. This is a like serious like upgrade in your ability to
well there's no college, question I think they that they go. That Manuel can hire somebody who's good that
is I mean, but that, well you gotta
I,
have
I,
you,
I want to say like it's not just good it's the guy who had the number one seed in the tournament this year, Jim Montgomery at Denver. It's guys who have turned around programs in Hockey East, which is probably the best conference in the country.
I think you've got to have a co-signature here. By
why?
Because if you don't, and there are people whose allegiance
is as much to him as it is Michigan. We have, I understand, Ryan, I hear what you're saying.
You're allowing one person to hold the entire program hostage.
I don't care
who that person is. You cannot allow that to happen.
What I'm saying is, when you don't have the co-signature of a guy who is the absolute architect, the guy who is the reason the program is on the pedestal that it's on now, what you set up, what there's a recipe for is when you get the new guy, as qualified as he might be, it may be the parallels aren't totally there with Rich Rodriguez, but one of the problems was that you had people that were on different sides of a Michigan. Everyone's for a Michigan, but you had people in that instance that, hey, man, they just weren't on the team.
Do you know what Rich Rodriguez's biggest problem was? 3-9.
I understand that. So
No. You don't understand
I do
that.
Understand that. I do understand that. And it allowed for some of that discontent to metastasize. I hear you.
And this team has 10 NHL draft picks. Their recruiting has kept up. They've got Josh Norris coming next year. Number 21 ISS, one of the best prospects coming in as a center. They have the talent to be immediately good, immediately NCAA.
Here's what I don't want to get lost. I'm not saying that you don't have, your point is invalid.
Yeah.
I think everything that you've laid out here makes total sense. I think it gives an accurate depiction of the trend line.
But
they have got to find a way to get him on board with whatever is best for the future.
I at this point, it feels like there is not a way.
Do you know that?
I said feel. Uh-huh. It feels like there is not a way, because if Red was willing to let go, he would have let go.
Yeah.
Because if this next year does happen, this is the third year he's going to coach essentially without a contract. And that was after saying, this is my last contract 6 years ago, and then saying, this is my last contract after another 3-year contract. And now he's into like untimed downs essentially. And it's just like, I'm not surprised that they weren't very good at hockey, I guess is what I'm saying. And I don't expect that to change until they change their coach. And you know, fundamentally, this is about me and how I feel watching the hockey.
Well, clearly, I mean, I think a very important point here, we were discussing it off air, how you feel has a lot of influence on a lot of people.
No. That was my point about the bearded terrible.
You might poo-poo that.
No, that's true.
You might poo-poo that, but it is true.
Dude, if that was true, so many things would be different.
Well, I didn't say that it was the, you know, you would be the ultimate arbiter of change, but it does influence a lot of people that value your opinion greatly.
Well, the comments on that piece were interesting, because half of them were like, I hate this piece, but I agree with it. And half of them were like, hate you.
I actually think that's wrong. I think it was more like two-thirds.
Yeah, it was like two-thirds, one-third. Yeah. There's one person asking me why I wasn't talking about the women's basketball team winning the WNIT, and I was like, I would barely cover like a Michigan basketball team, like a men's basketball team winning the NIT.
Hey, that was considering everything that they went through, that was a big account. But anyway.
It's the NIT, come on.
But had they ever won it before?
I'm not trying to downplay the accomplishment, but just don't ask me to cover something.
I hear you. All right. Well, here's what we need to do. We need to get to a break. That was that's what this round table is about, yeah. Right? That's what it's about. So I don't know if you have any more on that, Craig. We can get to that on the other side.
I have a footnote. We can get to it on the other side.
All right. We got
to
get to a break. Back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050, WTKA, the ticket. We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050, WTKA, online at WTKA.com. We are live here inside the MDN studios. Ira Weintraub will be back tomorrow. We have Jay-Z filling in for him on the other side of the glass. He got a chance to check, big check mark on his sports bucket list. He made it down to the Masters yesterday, spent the day down there, and the guy, we talked to him about 6:30 this morning, he was still grinning, even though they were on their way driving back. But he got a chance to kind of scout out some guys for his fantasy golf team. He said, what are you talking about, Sam? Well, FanDuel just launched fantasy golf. If you love golf and love winning cash prizes playing on FanDuel, you've got to try fantasy golf. It's easy. Pick 8 golfers for your team, stay under the salary cap, and score points for eagles, birdies, pars, and more. Something for everyone. Lots of contests to choose from, starting at just $1. Watch your score and win cash prizes, folks. Again, don't miss today's $750,000 Eagle Golf Tournament with $100,000 to first place, only $4 to enter. If you're excited about baseball, which I am, you know, golf doesn't really float my boat, but baseball does. Well, there's daily fantasy baseball on FanDuel as well. Over 2.5 million players have won a cash prize playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. To get started, new users will get FanDuel's Combo 5-Pack valued at up to $50. That's 5 free entries to a combination of 50-50 beginner contests. Just finish in the top half to win cash. You can't beat those odds. To get your 5 free entries, go to FanDuel.com. Click the Join Now button and enter the promo code 1050. That's FanDuel.com, FanDuel.com, promo code 1050, void where prohibited. So before we went to the break, Craig, you said you had a footnote.
Yeah, I've told this story before, so but I think it bears on the current situation.
It's not the pterodactyl one, is
no,
it?
No, not today. I haven't told. It's when Steve Fisher was fired, Tom Goss was in an odd spot. It was late in the year. They didn't have a head coach, and so there was a lot of noise. They would try and go after Ben Braun, late of EMU, who had gone out to Cal. Michigan got terrible publicity over this in the national papers everywhere about trying to poach Braun so late in the day with the season coming on. And so at that point, Johnny Orr had just retired from Iowa State. So Orr calls Goss and says he would coach Michigan for 1 year for free and help him with his transition into a new young coach. He might even coach against some guys who had talent. Goss turned him down. It seemed like it was an odd idea, but it was an incredibly smart and good one. Instead, we ended up with Brian Ellerbe, who was a debacle. And it
doesn't really quite cover it.
Yeah, and it set the program back quite some distance. And they could have had John Orr. It would have been a cool thing for Orr to come back, take a salute in the Big Ten, have him transition. So, I mean, sometimes there are ideas that are not ordinary but still make sense. And so, to me, that's what Manuel has to do. And he needs to come up with a way of making everyone happy. And those things can happen and do happen. They even happen in and much more complicated situations than this one.
Spoken so. Like a mediator.
Yeah. In any event, so that's my point.
Well, look, it's a job where having hard tasks is part of the job description, right? Making tough decisions is part of the job description. So that's not, you are not going to find me saying, hey, oh, woe is me for Ward in that regard. I'm just saying that I think the decision is tougher.
I think it's a tough decision.
The decision's not tougher. The execution of that decision is tough.
Yeah.
I mean, the decision is obvious. Okay. Obvious.
Easy to say when you don't have the skin in the game, man.
Oh, I do, though.
I mean, well, I'm talking about from a decision-making standpoint. From a decision-making standpoint.
Well, at this point, like, I think it would have been difficult after year three of not making the tournament. I think it's a lot less difficult now. Especially because this is, like, those previous teams, they missed by a game or two or three. And this team missed by more than that. it is time.
You know what? Here's the thing. You know, all of this talking and hand-wringing might be much ado about nothing. Maybe behind the scenes they already have it.
Yeah,
they're already on the same page. Yeah.
I feel like if that was the case, that we would already know about it.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, time will certainly tell. Here's what we can tell already, and we were talking about this off air. Michigan baseball, Craig, is good.
Yeah, they're very good. They have, they have a good team on the field. They're not a super hitting team, but they're going to play a lot of small ball. They have a couple of power guys.
They've been hitting it out of the yard here lately.
Yeah, but it's a good offensive team, but it's a great pitching team. They've got a lot of depth in the staff. They've got good guys at the top end. I think Maryland will probably be the two best teams. They lost 2 out of 3 to Maryland early, but they were
in Maryland,
very close games. The game they won easily. The games they lost could have gone either way. But they've been winning ever since then, and I think they're number 18. Is that right? I think they're number 18 in the country right now, and I can't remember the last time. That was the fact. So they've got a very solid team.
Jay-Z has been on the call for some games. And you guys are doing a call tomorrow, right? Jay-Z, isn't that?
Yeah, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. All three.
Illinois,
And so they, you know, he was talking a lot about Jackson Lamb. I've been talking to Bakich about Jackson Lamb for a few years. You know, he's the guy that's coming in, closing the door.
I don't think he's given up an earned run this year.
Yeah, at the end of the game. So this big, you know, he was a basketball recruit. But it's this statuesque power pitcher out of the bullpen, and he's not the only guy like that. It's their rotation, and Oliver Jaske is just – when you hear a coach come on and say his player is next level, this is one of the top guys in the country, and you're in season, you know how a lot of coaches are reluctant to kind of, you know, heap praise on a guy because that might add some pressure. That Bakich isn't taking that tact with this guy.
Pepper-esque.
Yeah, and he's not taking that tact with his pitching staff because even before the season, he was here in studio and he said, look, we can pitch. We have a really good pitching staff. And, you know, there's this saying in coaching, you know, under-promise and over-deliver. He wasn't doing that with the piece. Like, no, we have great pitching, and you're going to see that this year. And he's been right.
Yeah, he's been right. They have a good team. I mean, softball, incidentally, switching to that for a bit, is doing very well also. I don't think they've given up a run in about
7 games.
Yeah, 50 innings ballpark.
I think it was 45, wasn't it, JD? 45 innings?
Correct.
45 innings. So, yeah, so they're also playing pretty well. They don't have the sort of offensive team they've had in the past, not even close, but their pitching is solid. Betts has been lights out, and they seem to get enough hitting to get it done. They're going to struggle, I think, with Minnesota a bit in the Big Ten. We're not going to get a super regional this year, but we, you know, have a reasonable chance to get the regional here, I think, and they will make the NCAAs.
You know, any spring football thoughts before we get out of here?
Yeah, I like it. I hope it happens.
But you like what?
It's spring football. It's enjoyable.
You're right.
I like the fact that the spring game's on April 15th, so yeah. It's like a better chance of good weather. I like the fact that Jim Harbaugh is poking the SEC in the eye by going to Rome immediately afterwards.
That's awesome.
Hearing good things about Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Yeah, man.
Could be one of those guys who comes in and immediately starts, as about 40% of five-star receivers do. You know, Christian Kirk, you get those guys. Michigan has not had one of those guys in the past. Like, even Manningham kind of had a ramp-up year. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, you might see Donovan Peoples-Jones be that guy.
I think our receivers are going to be fine. I mean, a guy that I mentioned last year, he didn't show much, but I loved him in high school, is Nate Johnson. And I think he could be a nice player for us.
I have some intel that slot receiver Nate Shanley, I'm not sure if I pronounced that right, okay. Is actually going to press for playing time.
Really?
Okay. That might be a little bit because Grant Perry, I think, is still not available. Yeah. And if he resolves his legal situation satisfactorily, he's obviously a proven player. But I think Shanley is a guy you might.
What have you heard anything on O line? It sounds like Kugler is going to.
He's getting a lot of reps at the center, yeah. and then Mason Cole at left tackle. But I'm telling you, I mean, these guys are saying, you know, athletically, Cesar Ruiz is he's a guy that's a factor.
Well, and can he play guard? Could they go with a line of Cole, Ruiz, Kugler, Onwenu, and Bredesen at right tackle? Is that plausible?
It's plausible.
All right, but and then you know, I also think that they're leaving open the possibility of one of the freshmen that hasn't reported yet being a factor at the tackle position
that,
as well.
That would make me nervous.
Well, I think it's.
I don't think I'm going to be not nervous about the line.
Yeah, I think it's very much on the table, very much under consideration, very much. Let's operate with that in mind now.
What percentage chance do you think that Cole will play center this year? I think it's pretty low.
Yeah, I think it's more likely based on how things are unfolding. This is not any inside information from them saying this is what we're likely going to do. Based on the way things have unfolded thus far, I think it's more likely that he is somewhere else because, as I've been saying, as I laid this out, it's Mason Cole is their best lineman. He's going to be their best lineman at whatever position he's at. It's about what's the gap between him and the next guy at those positions. And right now, the gap between him and whoever the other left tackle would be is probably greater than the gap between him and the next center. So, you know, I think that'll determine it long term. We got to get out of here, folks. Before we do, got to let you know about the great deals to be had down at Suburban Chevrolet Cadillac in Ann Arbor, 3515 Jackson Road. If you make it down there, you can lease a 2017 Chevy Silverado LT double cab for $167 per month with $995 down, or sign and drive for $283 per month for 24 months. Time to get a little sporty. Changing of the weather. At least we think the weather is going to change. The 2017 Chevy Camaro, you can lease one for $196 per month with $995 down or sign and drive for $259 per month, 39 months. And last but certainly not least, a 2017 Chevy Tahoe. You can lease that big SUV for $386 per month with $995 down or sign and drive for $498 per month for 24 months. For those and other great lease deals, make it down to Suburban Chevrolet Cadillac in Ann Arbor and make the choice. Coming up next, Inside the Huddle with Michael Spath, followed by the Jim Rome Show at noon. If they can get it in, Tigers at the White Sox, 145. Otherwise, you'll hear the M Zone, followed by Frozen Four, right here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports Ann Arbor, a Cumulus station.
Better than us! No!